All right.
So the best off the field, and they don't have to be just guys, Bill, that you played with at Geelong. You need to sprout your wings a little and go to other clubs if you feel there's someone there that's worthy of a mention, or even maybe someone just outside a club but on the fringe.
Right.
All right, old black shoes.
Yeah.
Look at Fat.
What's wrong?
All right, so
like the Barton Scouts, you.
Seven votes for you, Black. Oh, Black Wheels.
Going trekking.
For my dodgy ankle. Yeah.
So I started mine on the lists of guys that you'd sort of want to go out with. They might be there for protective reasons.
They
could go a bit. Yes. Or they might be there for fun.
Right.
Or they might be there because they're good at bonding the team.
Right.
They might be good at other things.
Right.
Causing trouble.
good at other things.
Yes.
Who are they?
So I'm going to go with Mick Malthouse first. Ooh. Now, not many people would know.
He would shout.
In the early... No, Bill, this is not a list.
Bill just waiting.
Bill. Now, hang on, Bill.
He's
a good friend of mine.
Would he shout?
No, that's not true. That's a different list. So I went with Mick Malthouse on the basis that he was into trips away. He was a great organiser. He was the guy that brought everyone together and said, righto, we're going to do this. He was absolutely – and he was also the best prankster at Richmond in the time. In the early 80s, people would not remember, but he was a great prankster. So he is one of them, number one.
Yes.
Number two is a guy by the name of Peter Walsh, Woosher.
Yep.
Played in a premiership for Richmond in 1980. Just one of those guys, not a brilliant footballer, but just great fun. Everyone's drawn to him. When you go to a beer garden, you sit down, and I mean everyone.
Thank you, Brian.
I mean everyone comes to Woosher because he's that sort of guy that can all of a sudden turn a table of five into a table of 55.
Right.
He is very, very good.
Yes.
And a friend of mine, Steve Pirie.
Stevie!
Play a lot of games.
Come on, Stevie.
He was the sort of guy that was a great... operator, slightly off Broadway,
yes.
In that he would be very secretive about it. But you would see glimpses along the way, along the way of where he'd pop his head up.
And be
found out.
And he would be adhering very closely to the current lockdown rules too, Steve.
Yeah, he was recently cited walking the main street of Lawn. And should have been fined.
Hey, Brian, he got pulled up once because he used to drive down to Geelong occasionally.
Yeah, oh.
Right. And he was coming back from Geelong speeding and got pulled up by the police.
Doesn't
speeding.
Sound like him.
And guess what he said? Where were you when Mad Max was around? You didn't get in and barreled this copper. We should get Steve Perry
on
about
Stevie.
That.
He
did.
He's
good man, Steve.
They know him well at the Blue and White House. So those three from Richmond.
Yeah.
Steve played at Richmond earlier, then went to Essendon and St Kilda after that.
I'm waiting for Michael Turner, Jim.
No, he's got. I got him.
I forgot about
him. I've got him.
Right.
But then there was at Collingwood, there was Dennis Banks. So he was like our protector. Hanksy. He was like our duck. Yes. He would sort of hover around in case there were any issues.
Yes.
But at the same time, he'd have a great time himself. He was what I would describe as pure danger, Banksy.
Pure danger.
But at the same time, pure fun and always had a giggle and a sort of a, you know, he'd be always up to something in the corner.
Did you punch on with him one night? Or was
no,
that
no.
Mullane?
No. That was my next nomination, Darren Mullane.
Oh, okay.
who I described as adventurous. Devious at the same time, but if you follow, beware.
Ross.
Something is going to happen. It could be bad. It could be good.
Right.
But he was always great to hang around with as well. Then there was a guy by the name of Andy Preston. Not many would know Andy, but he was from Geelong. First played with Geelong. Played probably 50 games down there, Bill.
Yep.
He was a farmer.
Farmer, yeah.
Coming to the city.
Whoa.
And he continued to dress in farming clothes and was just... He was one of those guys you would take out and eventually he would mumble. And you couldn't understand a word he said. And he would sleep anywhere. So if you had a barbecue that night, he would sleep on the barbecue in all the grease and fat, and it would still be on.
You see the one you wound off the back of a boat?
Yes.
Parachute style, and let out the rope about a kilometre and a half.
Yes, that's the one. And we also whipped him. He was a good skier, Andy, until he got behind our boat. We had him lined up behind the boat, and we said, Andy, go out wide. Go wide.
Yes.
And what he didn't know is when he went wide on that side, there was plenty of river, but we were very close to the other side. So when he whipped across, he's gone, uh-oh,
bank.
I'm out of water. Straight into the bank, flew about 10 miles, broke his shoulder.
He got up and went again.
He was very good fun. Now, there's those guys that hang around the club, Duck, that are just on the fringes, And this was a guy by the name of Nick Theodosi, the press
Yes.
Now, Nick was just a great famous footy trip away man and was just great fun to be around as well, always pointing us in the right direction. And he just loved to be with the boys. And the club trusted him to be able to send this guy away with the team. He would be the club's representative. So Nick Theodosi was...
Was that Collingwood or Richmond?
A great operator. He was at Collingwood. Right. And he was a fantastic operator there as well. There's one that I wouldn't go away with.
You got more than seven people.
Or wouldn't have best off field, yes, probably. Yeah. Hmm. Francis Burke.
Tight. Just a legend.
Boring. Great player, Bill.
Great player. Nathaya.
The greatest. But you probably wouldn't have him on your best off field team.
Giving Francis a little drive-by.
So there's my seven.
At the end of his... I tell you what we need to do. Now, Richmond Social Club, Bristol, are we talking those days?
Yes, Richard. By the way, leave your guns at the door when you enter there. Oh. Richmond Social Club.
To duck the top seven you want at the bar with you.
Well, there's a real theme about mine, Billy.
And your phone has been buzzing.
It's been buzzing already, but real theme, and it revolves around me.
Right. Because who can you believe that?
Well, if you're going to the bar, you want these guys.
I can see all the North Melbourne teammates out there nodding in agreement.
They are all there for a specific reason. I'll start off with a man, similar theme to you, BT. You need a man there that can handle his liquor. Pound for pound, this guy was one of the best.
Sees it well.
No one would ever know it. Mr. Sensible, organiser, D. Crocker.
Was
one of the absolute best. One of the great blokes, but could really, really handle himself. So he was always last man standing.
Very good man.
Yes, you wouldn't expect it.
And he was last man standing.
Yes, absolutely. Then there's another guy that can't make the same comments about, and I'm going to get a phone call very quickly about this. A little man, he's a little man.
I think I know.
He's got a syndrome. But what I love about what I love about this man is he's a very cheap shout. Because he has gone after two pots. And his name's Rocky.
Rocky. Yes.
Come on, Rocky.
Little Rocky.
And if you want a little
very good man.
You want a little bit of trouble, he can get into a little bit of that as well.
He's got a bit of yap about him.
Now this next bloke, who started off at North and ended up at Geelong, I think he ended up winning five downloads over his career. So that's best on footy trips. So he was pretty good at it. This bloke's Brad Scholl.
The
thing about Brad, he could go through comatosis and then come out the other end and go through it again in the one night and actually fall asleep while he's sitting at the bar, wake up, and then just keep going.
Yep.
The other great thing about this man was he's just like one of those guys you could say, hey, Brad, go and do that. He'd go, yeah? Oh, okay. So he'd be one of those guys that run over.
So you'd send him off to do errands.
Whatever you wanted him to do. And if you wanted him to steal a train, he'd go and steal a train for you. That's the sort
other
of
train. Thing with Knuckle is he's one of the few individuals I've ever met that can finish every sentence with hey. Hey, Skinny. Hey. Duck. Hey. Rocky. Hey. Hey, Skinny. Hey.
Now, this man.
Great man, Knuckle.
This man is there for another reason. Ooh. And he's big. Ooh, he's strong.
Corey.
Didn't know how to use it, but everyone thought he did, and he made me look really good at the bar, and that's Mick Martin.
The legend.
So he's there for that reason.
The legend.
He just made me look good.
So Beauty and the Beast.
Right? Yeah. Now this next guy who went to three or four different clubs, I think it was in the end.
Hello.
And if you want trouble, you just get Rocky and put this guy together, but M. Pike would have to be on everyone's. And people, if you were there with Pikey, it'd be fair to say,
funny,
no one were going to come up and bug you, Bill, because as soon as they got within 10 metres, you'd tell them to go off, and they left. They left very, very quickly. Yeah. Now, these guys, I've had a few beers with over the years.
That's five, Doug.
Okay. But
two more picks.
Just a quick group of three here.
All right.
Quick group of three, because these guys are really good off it. Sammy Cranich and the Wakelands at St Kilda, very good off it. You want them there to just, be attracting, you know.
Cranich and the Wakelands.
Yeah, Cranich and the Wakelands just
That's weird.
Off the ground, very good.
Tell you what,
area.
I wonder whether Ducks ever operated outside his own bubble.
No.
Because they're all in the bubble, aren't they?
Right. And then I'm going to put these two together too, but Dusty Martin and Dane Swan. you want there. They are, I guess, the most recognisable two players, I think, in modern times. Certainly Dusty now. So they would completely take the attention off myself.
No, they wouldn't. Listen to this.
And people would be worrying about them.
I can't imagine that. Because if you were in the corner talking to those two, you would be wanting to dominate the hell out of
them. I would, so then I could just drift under the... go about my business.
What about Buddy?
I think that's a very good... very good group, I would have thought.
I can drift. Has he ever wanted to drift under the radar?
He needs the attention.
Oh, come on.
You need it. All right. You need it. You feed on it.
Fat.
Well, I'm very much so down in Geelong because we are a bubble down there. We never used to travel the 80Ks to Melbourne. Lammies. And, well,
the lyric?
Well, Stewie Harrison's number one because he provides
the drink card
and entertainment. So he provides that. So, so Stewie is along. And he don't cost you any money. So it's very good to have. Andrew Buse, who's a very good young, fella.
One of the greats.
But just to be around, he's fun. He's always up. He's bubbly.
Good man.
He used to go to the toilet and he'd wrap himself in toilet paper and he'd come out and he was a dunny man. And he'd run around in all this toilet paper and he's a dunny man. And then he'd just take off out the door and you wouldn't see him for an hour. Like, he crazy.
Come on, Rat.
Great stuff.
Oh, we laughed.
Mick Turner, you got to have Mick there.
Oh.
He wouldn't be buying, but...
MT9
to tell you how good he was. He thought he was the best at three things. I remember him telling us one night.
Oh, be careful, Bill.
Yeah, how good he was at fighting, and he couldn't fight. How good it was with extra...
Yeah, and he was no good there.
No good at that. Yeah. No good at that. And the other thing was footy, and he wasn't bad at footy. So we'll give him one out of three.
He's the team of the century operator.
He was, yeah. Joffa Miles. Joffa, good.
Yes, one of the greats.
One of the greats, Joffa Miles. And he'd have all those sayings like, how's the Kalgoorlie?
Yeah.
And you go, what? The Kalgoorlie boulder, the shoulder. And then he came up and 20 cent, how's the 20 cent? And you go, what? 20 cent coin, the groin, stuff like that. He's mad. I'm the Joff and I'm off. He'd have a pot, skullet, and he'd go, I'm the Joff and I'm off.
Likely to be listening now.
Well, he was great mates, of course, with Banksy as well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Collingwood. Styx Kernahan, so he could have a few froffies. And then he could sing.
Pride of the Fleet.
He could sing.
A couple of prides of the Fleet.
What about that one day? Who saw him one day walking into a party and then he had 12 crownies.
Yeah.
12 crownies. Yeah. Anyway, they go, geez, you're not having many drinks tonight. He goes, no, the missus got the other 12. He could only carry the Crown Lagers 6 and 6.
Oh, and Fat, if you've ever had the great pleasure of being at the bar with Chip, and you guys would have, don't they gravitate to him?
Oh,
people just come from every... He's just got that presence.
He has.
Great man.
Great man.
Well, they're hoping he's going to sing again.
All the different heads that we have down there.
Oh, go on.
Like Bulb Head. Yeah. Paul Brown, bulb head. He's got a head like a bulb. And then there's Narrow Head, Sean Simpson.
Head in a vice.
He'd be on the punt. And Bazza Stoneham, the redhead. He called himself Strawberry Blonde. But he used to be able to go. He could keep drinking. And Ray Sarsvik, one you mightn't know about, but he was just good to have around.
Did he play?
Played a few games.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he do at the club?
He was a player. Very good footballer locally. But he did do a lot of jobs. But if you needed a little
help,
he'd help you out. Right,
So that's 20. That's 21 of the 21. Team.
And I wouldn't have Gary Ablett Senior.
No.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No.
Why?
Never had any money. I went out with him one night. I spotted him $100 and pulled him out of 3 fights.
Oh, yeah.
You pulled him out of fights, did you?
Well, I said, Gaz, come on.
All right. So that's 21, Bristol.
Yeah,
we need 22 for a team.
Yeah,
so we said to Damo, out of the journalistic fraternity.
I've got one.
You can pull one bloke.
I might even struggle to find one, Jim. Right. Are you going to choose a coach for us as well or not?
No, we're going to give you...
We want you to do a cricketer.
Just one that I wouldn't do.
All right, I thought about Jay-Z, Jim, but all the sort of food would go pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's it. Any bar snacks would be eaten in a minute.
Just gone. Steve-O just mopes too much, though. Yeah, so we don't. Glenn McFarlane would have once upon a time had him, but just talked about horse breeding too much. Gullen Bill would have been a candidate.
Yes.
While, but he bags us too much now.
He does.
He bags us now. He bags you, Jim.
He does. Yeah, and well, what about, speaking of that, John Anderson?
And Mike Sheehan, I would have had Bill, but all the red wine would go.
What was wrong with John Anderson? Yeah. Didn't he get his thong tangled up with the accelerator once and went through a pizza shop?
Did, poor old Dando.
He did.
His thong got tangled in the accelerator.
And he was starving, poor old Ann. He was starving. He just wanted that pizza. He didn't have to go so close. He just could have got a takeaway.
Put the car prop in the shop up for a couple of weeks.
And then when the bricks come tumbling down, he said, "It's takeaway, isn't it?"
We love Andy.
Who are you going with?
No, I want to go with haircut, Jim.
Haircut Tim.
Daryl Timms. Any man Timsy. Who's been prepared to laser beam his hair for 40 years, they've got to go. Look, he's old school. He's politically incorrect, BT. Drink and around the drip tray, you need someone like that.
Drink a pony, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's even the 5 ounces sometimes. Right. Yeah.
And throw down.
Little 5 ounces. My first experience with him, and seeing we're on this theme, I was a copy boy, 18 years of age. He wouldn't have been that much older, but he used to get me to go and buy a 6-pack for his drive home every night.
Every night. A light.
Come on, haircut.
Oh, boy.
They would have been lights.
He lives in Beaconsfield.
He lives in South Yarra.
I'm not sure he... I think he only had one, Jim, on the way. Oh, no. And five when he got home. Yeah.
Of course they did.
So Tim's is my...
Great man. Haircut?
Yeah. No, mate. Haircut. One of the best. Still going strong, haircut, by the way.
He's going well, haircut. Yep.
Right. In retirement, what's he up to?
Yep. Got a few wombat issues at his property up
there. Yes.
Wombat?
Yeah.
Well, I'm only telling you who I wouldn't take.
Yeah, no, Jim, we want to... It's got to be a cricketer, though.
Yeah, it is a cricketer, and I'm only telling you who I wouldn't take, and I'm talking about this particular young man he was then, Duck, because at the time that we were all kicking around in Perth, we were all single. Mm. So, let me just put it this way.
Something Purple. Coming, Bill.
Yes. Get the tape rolling.
There weren't
or the dump button, one of the two.
There weren't too many bars that I could swan into where I had a hell of a lot of competition.
Is this a duck or Jim?
Listen to me.
Come on.
There weren't too many.
Come on, satellite head.
Back in those days. But I tell you who I wasn't taking fat to the bar.
Who?
A young man called Brendan Julian.
Julian. Oh,
yeah. Once he walked in, there was not an eyeball on another person in the place. You were like the Simpson Desert from that moment on. So I used to say to him, "You can go in there and we're going down the road." So he can get stuffed. I'm not having him there. And he still looks as good today.
He does.
Doesn't that shit you?
Didn't he marry someone famous?
Oh, magnificent. Rhonda Wiley's beautiful daughter, Suzanne.
Yes.
He's a wonderful man, Beach, but he still looks the same now.
You know what's amazing about all that team that you've put together there?
It's a good thing
that we've all done, is that when you do go on a trip with any one of those guys, that you're not allowed to tell your missus that you're rooming with anyone.
That's right. Can you imagine?
Duck, guess what everyone had to do when they went with you? Imagine all the missus going, so who are you rooming with? Oh, with Wayne. Oh, no! Get out of there! You're not rooming with him! Imagine that! Robbie Scott, poor old Scotty. No, I'm with Mick Martin. Hey, Duck, get us a beer, will you?
You're going to room with Lingy? Yeah, you can go.
It's going to be kick after the siren to Gibbons to win the game for Carlton.
Yes, and that was late. No doubt about it. So Gibbons is going to take this kick. What he can't do is run off the line once the siren is gone. In fact, Nunes has come in. Now, who's taking the kick? Nunes is generally a very accurate kick at goal.
You wouldn't believe it.
They've done some fudging down there, Carlton, perhaps. And good on them if they're lucky enough to get away with it.
Oh, here we go.
There's the siren. Kick after the siren. The margin is 2 points. Fremantle lead. Nunes, first season at the club, he's been kicking a few goals lately too, can only run in straight. If he deviates, it should be the end of the penny section, the end of the game. He's removing chairs at the moment, Nunes.
He's knocked out the security bloke, he's thrown a chair, here we go, Dan.
He's got things on his mind. Fremantle line up on the mark. Nunes' kick, it's a magnificent kick. He's won the game for Carlton. Oh, what a kick by Nunes. What a fantastic kick. Fremantle are beaten with a kick after the siren. And that is a kick in the stomach for them. They led throughout the game, only to be denied when it was over. Well, not quite. 5-10 to 5-6, 40 to 36. What a kick.
Gary Ablett, arguably the greatest player of all time. Has he trained off a little bit in... lockdown?
Well, everyone's been in lockdown a bit different, Judge. He's kicked the goal. I thought he's been pretty good in the first quarter, but yeah, he looks good. It's good.
Probably the wrong what point you... to ask, potentially.
what were you suggesting?
Just asking Nate Brannigan. I think he's looking like he's portly. A little bit chunky. Old Gaz. I think the shorter games are going to suit him. He had a brilliant first quarter. But
a little bit chunky?
I think so, don't you?
Did notice? No. Like,
yeah. Well, have a look, Duke. You've been a bit off noticing a few things tonight. And some of the basic things you haven't been able to notice. I wouldn't have thought some of the nuances of the game may go over the top of your head.
But did you notice that?
No. He looked a million bucks. Bombed it from 55. I don't know what he's talking about. Burst through the package, though. Stewart sending it around the corner. The man that kicked the first goal of the match, Dale House. Fished away towards Gazza. Get out of my way, says Gazza. Turns it round the corner, and that's a solid goal from Gary Ablett.
Looks like he's looking up and saying, get stuff, Juddy, yes. Too. He's got that feel about it.
Yes.
He genuinely pointed at the screen. Let's get the 20 almost there. It felt like words filtered back out.
Well, the Geelong Cats are 39, Hawthorn's 34. That is all on the Triple M Installer Ream scoreboard. Yeah, he looks magnificent to me, Gary Ablett.
It was a brilliant finish, wasn't it, Howard? Clean, roved the ball off the pack. Again, one of the major score sources has come from banging the ball long and deep into their forward line. They've taken a lot of contested marks, but they've got some free kicks and they had a couple of good crumbing goals from those contested situations now.
Last week, the week before, we had Jake Clark, who's a great journalist at the Herald Sun and Triple M, obviously. He went with the top 100 paid players in football, put a few noses out of joint in particular. I think Max Gawn got his nose put out of joint and certainly contacted Jay and said that he had it wrong, and there's a few other people. So I thought we'd turn that around and we do the top five.
Does Jay-Z get told what he can and can't say?
Absolutely not. Jay-Z does what he wants.
Okay. All right.
Top five paid football journalists, Howard. And
Where's the, like, how much information has been dealt? How much work? What have you done?
Researcher, Howie.
Yeah, there's massive research done this week by myself. I've made zero calls on this. This is what I think, Howard, pretty much.
Did you start this list at 2 minutes to six?
No, I've had the list in my head all day, Damo, but I've just started to put all the figures together. And so it's all mine. It's all mine. So
you're going to go from five to one.
Well, that's the general way the top five works, Howard. Would you like to do it a different way this week?
Off you go then.
Okay, I've got some honourable mentions because not everybody, and there's a bit of criteria, obviously. Yeah. It's better if you're doing TV, radio and print. So a journalist who used to be a journalist like an Eddie Maguire doesn't fit into this list because I feel like he's gone past
too big.
Journalism. He's too big. He's going to be a broadcaster.
Yeah, good call, Nate.
Yeah, it's good. I don't need reaffirmation.
Ooh, reinformation.
Reaffirmation, Howard. Anyway.
It's not the best start. It's not the best start.
Okay, some honourable mentions. And I've given Finn the Bagman an honourable mention. He's not getting paid a lot at the moment, Finn the Bagman. But he gets the coffee for people. And I think that in time, Finn the Bagman is going to be running these networks. He is that smart.
He'll
Finn
go past them all.
He will go
Finn.
Past them all.
I like to buy shares in Finn.
So in the top five, Tommy Brown didn't make the top five. He is a hard, hard worker, Tommy Brown. Strategically took less in 2019 and 2020 with a proviso that he's on TV more times than Mark Stevens in those 2 years. So he's on less at the moment and he wants 2021 to be a big year.
He got a big whack in Jared Ruffhead's book this week, Tommy Brown. Ooh. Might come back to that a little bit later on.
We might.
Out of interest.
I think Tom Morris has got big things ahead of him at Fox. I think he's a man that needs a 2-year plan, though, for Finasteride, because at the moment, I feel like he's a bit thin on top and he needs a good 2 years to thicken that up for his own confidence. And then he could extrapolate out into other areas and get multiple streams of income. So
what you're saying is if he had more hair, you think he would get paid more?
Oh, you're a quick learner, Howard.
It's an extraordinary link.
Sam McLuett, just outside, he's clearly the most happy with himself of all these journos at the moment. Just ask him, he's a very.
Jeez, this is a chance to spray blokes before he's even got to the top
five. We like it. We like it a lot.
Mitch Cleary, just outside the top five. And now it's a big belief that last week he was stood down by the AFL for posting something that he wasn't meant to post by Brooke Cotchin. But. I've had it confirmed to me, Howard, in the last 24 hours that it wasn't that at all. It was some salary cap issues in at the AFL Damien Barrett's taking too much of the pie over there. So they said, you just have to sit out a couple of weeks because we don't have the money to go around because Damo, he's everywhere at the moment. So they are the men that didn't make the top five. Mm. So here is the fifth person. And the fifth person goes in as Jake Nile. who is the chief football writer at The Age. Now, Caro
Properly, highest paid journalist.
Fifth highest paid journalist, and I'll get to his wage in a minute, Jude.
Right. Gee whiz. I don't know about naming the wage.
So it's an estimation, Howard.
That's right. I like it.
So it's about 250, I would have thought. 250 for the year.
250 for Jakey.
The chief paid football writer.
This is extraordinary.
Damo's certainly rocked off his chair there.
Jake Nile could be earning more, and he was on Fox Footy earning, but he's not earning that anymore because, like Judge, he's not great on TV. So he is sitting at number five just waiting for somebody else to take that spot.
Should Jake not get the Finesta right as well? Or is it too far gone?
It's gone.
Okay.
It's way too, a bit like yours. It'd be like you trying to get on a Finesta.
So I know, again, I'm slow to catch up, but you're saying Jake Nile comes in fifth and Jake gets paid $250,000 a year.
That is correct, Howard. Would you like me to go through your contract too?
Yeah, okay. Number four.
There has been a little bit of research done. I won't lie.
Okay, good.
Now, number four comes in, and a very respected journalist by the name of Mick Warner.
Ooh.
So Mick Warner is obviously the son of the ASIS boss, Nick Warner, the chief of spies in Australia, reports directly to the PM, and rumour has it that Rupert Murdoch himself rated Warner so highly that they sent him to New York to be a hard-hitting crime reporter at the New York Post. This is how much they rate Mick Warner. So I look at that and think Mick Warner gets paid very, very well.
And who does his father work for?
ASIS, the chief of spies in Australia.
The head of ASIO, effectively.
Reports directly to the PM.
Yes. Okay.
Would you like me to repeat it again?
No, I'm just trying to follow.
Slow on the uptake.
And you said he's respected.
Respected, right. Damo.
Not another one.
Damo.
Not another one.
What are you doing?
I have worked with Mick Warner, and I particularly like Mick Warner. He's a very good Richmond man. And I thought he does some radio with another station. I thought he probably gets about 40 from that. And to be the print journalist he is, he's around another 2 to 220.
You cash he's on the side.
So he's at 260 estimated.
Just got
so he
past
just
Jake Nile.
Pips out Jake Nile.
He's got Jake.
Is this the ATO ticking these off?
Which brings us to number three.
Yep.
And our man over there,
number three.
Damien Barrett. And as we know, Damo, he's very, very good. He's been in the print journalist. He's been a radio man for a long time. TV, I've given him around 50. He does the Sunday footy show. If he had been a bit warmer and been able to host a bit better, I reckon he could have been a host of a show by now. So he probably he's giving up 150 by not being able
to host
the show.
You wanted to be the host of that show, and CJ got the gig.
So radio, around a package of about 80,000 at Triple M, I would have thought. And then his main gig at the AFL. 250 at the AFL. It brings him to 380,000 at an estimate.
Given your information, we know why he did what he was told at the AFL on those numbers.
Exactly,
that makes a lot of sense now.
Exactly.
That does make a lot of sense.
Holds it very close to his chest. When you're getting paid that sort of much, you go, Mitch, who?
380.
Clear him out.
380 for Damo.
Okay. And what really riles Damo is the number two man. And it has to go to the chief football writer at the Herald, who's got the triple banger. He has got the TV, the radio, and the print. So he's clearly the chief football writer at the Herald Sun, which I've estimated to be about $300,000.
So you're talking about Mark Robinson.
Mark Robinson.
So you're saying he's pulling 300 from
the Sun.
Just the Herald Sun.
He's gone past Damo just with his Herald Sun work.
Exactly.
Oh, that's got to hurt, Damo. That's got to hurt. Damo's quite down there. He's ringing one of his three managers saying, what's going on?
You might have to put a fourth manager on. Get a boil.
You've told me that people get paid very well at Fox.
They do.
And this man, Mark Robinson's been at Fox. He's been a stalwart there. He's got his own show with Waitley every night, three or four nights a week. So he would be paid handsomely for that. I've estimated around 200.
200 out of Fox.
So he's up to 500, and he does some radio as well.
Yep.
So 550 for Mark Robinson. But number two, it is a tightly held spot because I've got some issues with his lifestyle and his health. So he needs to really work on that to remain at the second spot in this countdown because he just needs to healthen up a bit. I would have thought Mark Robinson. And
I think it's time for the dump button.
I've got a text message from Spirit. Then they're out. They're going to stick with mine, but they cannot do another top five. It's just coming from Spirit CEO. Make it stop.
And this man is at the cream of the crop at the moment, and he splits his earnings between two forms. Number one comes in, and it is Jared Waitley. A fantastic journalist. And I think he came to Croc Media at a very good time when Hutchie had the checkbook out and it was flowing freely at one stage, Hutchie's checkbook. Now, I think radio, to get him out of where he was, to get the Croc Media to do what he's doing, half a mil.
Oh, 500.
Boom. Just
500. That's Judd sort of numbers.
That's big numbers.
Do you realise that there's other SEM people who are listening to this who will be shattered by knowing that he's on that figure, if that figure is right?
Their figures were in the paper anyway, Damo, not that long ago. Were they or not? So tell me I'm wrong.
Is my man Tim Watson's figure in
it? No, Tim Watson.
What about Gary?
No, this is my top five. They're former footballers, Damo. They don't make
it. No, but I'm worried about the wage being revealed to those people.
So, and
500 for his radio.
And about a quarter of a mil for the TV. I think he probably needs at Fox Footy to be paid more than Robbo because he is the host of their program.
Are you worried about his health?
So that, I think Jared.
He's got no healthness issues.
He's going very well.
How was health part of his conversation?
He probably needs to do a couple of F45s, so much. So 250, that comes to 750. He's worth every penny, that Jared Waitley. I love the way he goes about it. And that is the top five.
Wow. Research on
very
point.
Thorough. Very thorough.
There'll be no blowback next way for that.
That'll go completely under the radar.
Judging by Damo's body language, scarily accurate, I reckon. Daddy, you picking that up at all?
You know I study body language. Yes, and there are a lot of tells there.
Very uncomfortable. Yeah.
This is a man who wanted some time and also his own sting. No, so let's go.
Welcome back to As Triple M Rocks Business. I am Daisy Thomas.
Daisy's holiday party list.
How do you like those apples?
Bit of vacation?
Yes.
All right. So what are we going with here, Daisy?
Well, as you can tell, I haven't been up to a whole heap, apart from eating Sims.
But none of us have.
So I thought, well, what better way to do this time of year? If you're not playing finals, there's nothing else to do. And although footy trips are a thing of the past, really, I thought I'd just sit down and work through each team, one player from each team. If I could, take them on a trip, who would I invite and for what reason? You know, they've got the 22 and under 22 list, the All-Australian list. But we all really know that you play footy for two reasons, individual accolades and for footy trips. Yep. Oh, and I 100% stand by that fact. You didn't get too many individual accolades, but...
A lot of footy trips.
A lot of footy trips and ducks, please.
Well, you can do both.
No. Don't lead him in.
But it is very, very strange times, Bill, as we all know.
Yes.
And I wanted to get clearance, so I put a few calls into the Premier's office. I asked him a few hard questions, and this was the response I got back.
That's not appropriate. I can't be any clearer than that. That's what's most important. The pub. That's what's most important. Beers. We had a case last week. As best we can tell, the dinner party started with one case. By the end of the dinner party, almost everybody at the dinner party had a case of beers. Beers. People simply take this seriously, rapidly. Get on the beers. That's your civic duty. That's what's most important. And that's what must be done.
What is this segment going on?
It is your civic duty, as heard there by Dan Ambrose. Get on the brews, get on the beers. It is your civic duty. So that is an absolute zinger to start with. So I'm going to start off the Western Bulldogs. Yep. I thought about this long and hard, and I thought, you know what? Potentially the first one that came to mind was Lachie Hunter. Yes. And then I thought, on night one of footy trip, you don't want the cops involved. So he got scrapped pretty quickly. And then I thought back to the year they won it. Who was the standout? Who was a bloke getting Cadbury tattoos with shaved heads who's once been found on the streets of King Street? Little Libba. So he's the first one who's coming on the footy trip. Yes. Move straight along to Melbourne. And Billy's man, the one who wants to punch your head in, Froffies May.
He likes me.
He hates you.
And he likes a beer.
So he's in.
Yeah, Froffies.
Port Adelaide, I'll take you back.
back a couple of weeks, a bloke in his second year of football who was happy to go out for a beer and risk the whole competition. Dan Houston. We love it. That is courage. You can call it what you want. You can call him an idiot. You can call him a dill. Yeah, that is absolute good. Courage
Houston.
By him.
Dan Houston, yes.
Now, I know you might not like this one, Bill.
Unusual Dan Houston. Mm-hmm.
Richmond.
Yeah.
Jack Riewoldt.
No.
Yep.
No.
Because, and Duck, I'm sure you can attest to this, day three of your footy trip, everyone's a bit grumpy. You need someone to throw shit at. Constant and just keep hurling it at them and they're just going to soak it up and the more they soak it up, the more you pile on.
Yep.
So for that reason, he's not there for anything else. So there's a variety of reasons
he's
in
there.
This list.
Yep.
Gold Coast, Lockie Weller. Yeah. Purely, wholly,
for
simply.
His looks.
His looks. Yeah. You put him out there, he'll be the beacon. He'll attract the fairer sex for the boys who are single.
That's what Barry Stoneham used to do with me every time. The old ugly redhead and there's me.
Made you look like a strong 10, no doubt. Now we move along to the Putty Cats, the Geelong boys.
Ooh.
Not a whole lot to choose from here.
No.
So I went for pedigree.
Who?
Oscar Brownless.
Oh,
you need a rookie on a footy trip, and there's a bloke whose old man has made spin the wheel, a famous saying, froffies without a TH. So I thought, what better way to show your colours, young Oscar, than come on the footy trip with Daisy, get under the wing.
Dangerous to go on a footy trip, though, before you've actually played a game, Dave. Yes.
Well, can make or break. Bristle, so, you know, this could be the making of this kid, because otherwise he's just be hearing war stories from his old boy.
Of course he will.
From the West Coast, and I've got this on very good authority, Jeremy McGovern looks like a bloke who loves a pot.
Yeah,
played a little bit with his brother. Good authority. The first week of their holiday, they go back to Albany. They walk down the street at 11:30. They walk past the Albany Bakery, get two pies each, smash them, and hold up an end of the bar at the White Star in the Albany for the entire day.
Yes.
So you need that. You need a bloke who's just going to sit there and constantly be there, whatever hour of the day.
That's right.
So he's in. Essendon. Well, this was the toughest one. You don't want a bloke on a footy trip who promises the world and delivers an absolute atlas.
Yes.
Yeah, who's that?
And that football club is riddled with blokes who do that week in, week out on the football field, so I've picked no one. They can get stuck.
Left them out.
We don't need them.
Crikey.
And then my old boys, the Pies.
Ooh.
The one that we all know, the party boy himself, Geordie DeGoey, was the first one that came to mind. I was like, you know what? He's been good. He likes it. He's notable. He enjoys a good time.
Yep.
But then most recently, this just popped up on my screen and I heard this and thought, who better?
Black and white stripes with a splash of pink. A Saturday night out in Broadbeach for Magpies president Eddie Maguire snap partying at the Pink Flamingo.
Eduardo.
He wants sending to go, the present.
He's coming in. He's going to the, he's done the reconnaissance. He's done his work for bloody Make Victoria Great Again or whatever he's done. He's at the Pink Flamingo. He's in the team.
Hell. What about Steele? Maybe a couple of scotches?
Yeah, a couple of scotches.
And give him some clothes to go away.
To walk home with.
Or Swanee, just a retro invitation.
Well, potentially, but we'll go with the Prezzo.
I don't like that.
Good. Yep.
Moving on to Freo over Western. Another tough one, but I went with Andy Brayshaw.
Surely not. Why?
The only Brayshaw you want to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Andy Brayshaw. Get him in the footy trip.
Boring old man.
Only Brayshaw. Jim, that means you too.
No, he's talking about their family.
No.
And I agree with that.
Extended family.
Yep. Yes.
Moving on to the Hawks, Chips Frawley.
Ooh.
Ballarat boy, loves a beer. And him and another bloke who mentioned late, but what, you know, I'm a bit of a smart ass. We all know that. Yeah. The blokes on footy trips, they start running their mouth. You need someone who's in your corner who can back up what you're saying.
Mm.
So he's in there for that reason, and he loves
that's
a
beer. Why I was good on footy trips.
A Mark Ricciuto like, you know. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Sydney, I thought Tommy Papley, but I thought, you know what, he's a pest.
No.
And it took me back to a
story. And he wouldn't share.
Took me back to a story. He walks out of the State of Origin game. He walks into a cab to go out for dinner. The cab driver goes to him, oh, you've been at the footy, have you, mate? Tommy Papley looks at him and goes, been at the footy, I just kicked five champions. So no one knows who he is. Yeah. So I thought, who's the most notable Sydney player? Buddy Franklin.
Yeah,
because at the odd chance you can't get into a nightclub, you need to wander someone to the front who's got a bit of swag.
He'll get you in.
I've seen Duck walk past a few times and me in the line in the nightclub at the rare time and just pulled me out. So we appreciate the superstars of our game.
Oh, yeah.
The Brisbane Lions, you like this one, Matty Eagles.
Oh, no!
The reality star.
Well, that's the reason he's in, fat, because just in case at some point the boys turn on me and say, your career went to shit, you turned to reality TV, I can say, well, at least it didn't start on TV. Matty Eagles, you are the recruit. Shave your dreadlocks, you muppet. You're in, though.
Eagle is getting a drive-by.
He's getting a drive-by, but he's coming.
Fair enough. He's getting collected.
Adelaide, Brad Crouch, you need someone at the end of the night to put the boys in the taxi, and we'll know he will be there all of the night, up and about.
Yes.
North Melbourne, again, Robbie Tarrant.
Yeah, Taz.
Had plenty of good times with his brother, so good pedigree. But again, with Chips Frawley behind you, I reckon I could run my mouth to anyone, all in sundry, and just sit there, relax, and sip without a worry on my beer.
He is a beauty, Taz. Yep. Mind you, the zoo, you might have just had a look at the zoo. You need someone to be completely mad by the end of
it. Okay.
Like get mad eyes and, you know.
Ooh, he'd be up there.
Give you a story for the next day.
GWS Giants. Big Mummy was the first thought, but then I thought, who could I go past me, mate? Heeshaw.
Heater.
Yeah. 14 years of being a drunk and playing AFL football. It's an absolute.
He's done well.
It's an absolute credit to him. You think I'm getting fat in retirement? Well, wait till you see him in 6 months. He will be an absolute chode. He'll be rounder than he is tall. So he gets a mention. St Kilda. Well, again, hard to pick. But a bloke who can rock up in an interview, still hungover, potentially still a little bit dusty, a little bit pissed potentially, on a Sunday and drop the magic. He gets it right. Have a listen to this.
That came out red hot. I think, sort of the start. I was a bit nervous at the start, but then, you know, previously we would have just gone away from...
Big Rowan Marshall.
Rowan Marshall on the Sunday footy show. He dropped the magic. And we've all looked at him. He goes... Oh, is it live? Of course it's live, bro.
What's that about?
Well, you need that. And anyone who's, again, willing to wake up a day later, still pretty hungover to do a live cross on television, he gets in. And last but not least, my last club, the Carlton Footy Club.
Oh, yes.
Sam Doherty.
He's not a drinker.
No, that's the whole reason. Someone needs to drive the bloody bus. You're a boring bloke, Doherty. Liven up. You're driving the bus. Thanks for having us.
Who'd you have from Hawthorn?
Chips.
John Patton. I'd bring him in too.
And where are you going to go on this trip? Where would you go? Where would your favourite place be to go? And how are you going to get there? You're going by boat, plane, train?
At the minute we're going nowhere because we're not allowed because the old border of steel, we can't even get down to Fats Pub and have a beer. Look, I think once the borders open up, we'll get Doherty on that little minibus, the 18-seater, and we will just head straight to Bendigo. 52 pubs within a kilometre. They won't know what's hit them because we can't go anywhere. Well, you can't go to Vegas or anywhere great.
Bendigo.
JB, those sort of trips are the best. I mean, one of the best that we ever went on at Collingwood was to Port Lincoln. We also went on a triple. We went Darwin, Cairns, Gold Coast. We did 4 days in each. That was great because you're able to make a mess and get out quick and then move on to the next town. Right. And so they were better than the international
trips.
I'm with you, Brian. I reckon.
We used to go to the Ocean Blue up there on the Gold Coast. There'd be 20 other footy trips there. Oh, they were fantastic. And rugby trips, they were fantastic. Fantastic. The old Ocean Blue. Wow.
What about the rugby league boys, JB? They'd arrive at the beer garden. I think we spoke about this last week, Bill. They'd arrive at the beer garden at about 10 in the morning. As soon as she was open, they'd be flooding into the beer garden.
Go hard, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd go hard and they would be legless by 4 when the AFL boys would just be starting to turn up because they're thinking about nighttime getting on the prowl a little bit. They'd get there about 4 and all the rugby boys want to do is fight them because they were legless.
They were. That's exactly right. Yep. Funny you say that because I hear that someone from the Triple M stable, who's up in Queensland with Damo, wanted to do the gig so much so that he said, I'll do it for a slightly lesser rate.
No.
I will do it for a lesser rate.
Tried to cut his feet out.
Yeah, I'll do it for a cheaper rate and tried to cut Damo's lunch. And guess what? He said, I am the MC King. I do lunches. There's only one bloke that can do them. I do them. And was politely told.
If you're going to continue to lie.
Did that happen? I was told on Thursday.
I will tell the Victorian police out there that you're breaking the rules down in your pub because what I'm saying to you now is unfair on you and vice versa on me. That is absolute bullshit.
No.
If you continue to say it, I'll have you kneecapped. I'll have you capped, Bill, because that is absolute nonsense.
Damo?
Jim, what's that you say about people who protested?
Yes,
I'm sorry, greatly
too much.
I reckon that story's true, Bill.
Oh, yes, 500,
that's great.
Hey, is it also true, BT, that you specifically asked to interview the so-called superstar supporters of Richmond? You wanted one-on-ones and did not want anyone else involved in the interviews.
No, they wanted me.
Oh. The old lunch
club. So go on. Anything else you've got?
I have.
Nothing stuck so far because the people out there know
he's dirtied up. Yeah, I can feel it in the studio.
Tell you what, keep going, JB. If you've got one throw
it out. He's filthy right up, Bristol.
I will be wandering off in the next minute or so if this nonsense continues.
No, you won't, because you like to get the full payment. You're on for 10 minutes last time and you didn't get the full payment. Wow, did we hear about that? Did the admin...
What else do you think you got?
Well, I've got something on you.
No, you haven't.
I got something on you.
No, you haven't.
You
got nothing. I'm clean. It's extraordinary. That's what it was.
Better than playing and losing grand finals, I guess, Bill.
Lunch. Hey, just because you got knocked off by Purple as the best...
I don't know how you go through life, Bill, playing and losing grand finals. Really, not worth getting there if you're going to lose them, mate. If you lose them, and then if you lose them and don't get
Leroy,
a touch as well...
Leroy. Hit the TikTok. There it is, Brian. There's tenure. Oh, 3 minutes 10. Bruce.
The final siren is down, and Geelong have lost another one. Goodness gracious me. And Billy Brown has... Oh, he's had a poor day today.
That'll be the only thing you'll say all day, because Bruce will do the whole lot today and do it beautifully.
Hey, Bill, I caught up with Tanya Taylor last week at the preliminary final.
Yes.
And I got a lot of stories about it.
Oh, good.
Well, but I just don't feel quite comfortable right now raising them, but we'll be armed for future.
Hold on to them, because we'll do them over the break. But...
To be honest, they kicked a couple. Anyway, Brian, sucked in. You didn't get the luncheon, and you get no time today. Sucked in.
Oh, and yet another one is blown by the Cats.
And you brought some info to help out old Brian up there, who's copped a hiding today with the old TikTok and missing out on lunches. But what do you got for him?
No, well,
in between you losing grand finals, Bill. not a great day for you, grand final day.
Filthy up these two.
Mother's Day. It's not a great one, but you keep going there. So.
How many are you playing, Brian?
Not a great one for you, Bill.
How many have you played in?
not a great one,
how
Bill.
How many, Brian?
Mate, I don't want to play. I refuse to play in them if I lose.
You got dropped. Mate, you got dropped and wrote a book about your teammates.
Losing grand finals, Bill. I'm sick of hearing you, Sook, mate. I really am.
You got dropped and wrote a book about your teammates and put them all in.
Time.
Four of them got divorced.
And now you cry when you see someone else win. And you get down there and you're just a little cat land and you're pushing down
Joey,
there. And
Joey,
it's
go.
It's just
Joey.
Embarrassing.
No, I did. He's cranky today.
Joey, look, I know you're young, mate, but do your homework if you're going to come on.
I'm just having a look at the 1990 Collingwood side, because Brian was still playing. So Shane Kerrison and Christian and Banks, and then we got Gaffer, Kelly, Moorwood.
They chose to have a full forward, Bill.
I was injured, Bill.
Mullane, Shaw, Wright. This is our forward line, Dougie Barrick, Dacos and Scott Russell. The forward line, Gavin Brown, Damien Monkhurst.
Okay,
and Gavin Krasiska in the other pocket.
Billy,
and then we got James Manson, McGuan, Tony Francis on the interchange, Jamie Turner and Craig Starcevich, and no Fat Brian! No Fat Brian in the grand final side!
Just typing in Billy Brownless grand final stats.
Damien Monkhurst.
We know in one game it was, I think, one stat. Let's
Big monkey at full four. He was quicker than you, Brian.
Oh, yeah, here it is. So one grand final, Bill Brownless.
Yep.
Three touches, and they all came in the last quarter.
What did Ablett kick? Nine.
We
kicked 12.
Decoy.
12. Bill's just added one.
It's 11, sorry.
Bill to this day, Bill, so I don't know how you go losing four.
Yeah. Oh, you got to laugh. Don't he go. Don't
He's dirty now.
Look out, Duck's got a laugh.
Bill's on his feet. Look at
him. That's true, Bill. Must be a horrible month for you.
Shut up,
horrible,
monkey.
Horrible month
you
every year
get a
for
game
you.
In front of monkey. Fair enough. And you, Duck, you can get stuff.
It goes on for a month, Bill. You must be just absolutely dishevelled.
You know what the problem is? Duck's got a laugh now.
Yeah.
He's going to be chipping in the whole day thinking that he's the funniest bloke on the bloody program. Hey, Brian, you didn't have sets because Gavin Krasiska was in the forward pocket.
Hey, by the way, there's two great forwards sitting there. Any of you guys want a Coleman? Oh, that's right. No, you haven't.
That's a good he's point, filthy Brian. Up. Good point. So, he's you know, filthy right up.
They're
Russell.
Hard to win. They're harder to win than Brownlow's, I'm telling you.
Right off the top, he's filthy up.
He since we caught him out trying to undercut.
Well, I tell you what, just one more Bill gag away from just walking out. I'm just going. I've had a gut pull. I've got other things, better things to do than this. Crap.
You got one left, Bill? You haven't got a lunch anymore because Damo's doing it.
No, I've just got to fit in the three.
Since I've been following footy, it'd be hard to find a player who's delivered more than Dusty at this time of year.
Brian, what do you think about that?
Oh, well, there's a thing called history. So you look into it a bit and you'll see that there's others. And there's one sitting directly opposite you there, Juddy, that had a pretty good influence. And I think he's got a few years to go before he gets over the hill.
Brian's got the brazen bits today. Bill had a go at him early, didn't he?
Well, what was that again, Leroy? What did we have with for him? That's the stopwatch that Tanya uses to see how many minutes course, Brian calls and then
Juddy,
how many Bruce calls.
Sit there and laugh like a rooster, Juddy. You're sitting against one of the most failed grand final players of all time. He lost four.
I just counted up. I kicked 12 goals in those grand finals, by the way.
You lost
Brian.
Four, Bill.
Kicked 12
it's not
goals.
Not about you. It's about the team.
And me and Abler kicked 25.
Lost four, Bill.
Bill. It seems to have quieted down a bit up in Brisbane.
Well, mate, it's awkward up there. They're sitting next to each other and they're not talking.
No, we can't get a word in because I just hear Bill talking about himself all the time. And then Juddy's chipped in with a bit of me
you
as well.
The 1990 grand final, do you see that? Monkey at full forward, Gavin Krasiska in the pocket. Brian didn't get a game.
And do these numbers ring a bell? Four.
Go to the six, breaks. Go
three,
to the break.
Two. Six, that's six, four six, grand finals.
Has Juddy taken over Brian, has he?
What do you mean?
Well, I just haven't heard, haven't seen him. Where is the big Brisbane?
I'm just waiting for the quiz, Bill. I can't wait. It'll be bloody exciting.
Do you want to ask a couple of questions or something or what?
No, you're handling it well. You're going well down there. Duck's going well. Everyone's going well. Juddy's doing a great job, so.
Well, 133353 is the number. Leroy, get ready, please.
Here's your host, Billy Brownless.
We're down to Solskjaer.
What's happened, Jim?
What is going on?
What's happened?
Where's he gone?
He's walked out.
Brian.
Oh, go up to Damo. Damo's in the...
Damo, you're up in the studio in Brisbane. Where's the bristler?
I don't know. I don't know. He...
What happened?
What happened?
It had been frosty.
But you've worked him over, Bill.
What did you say, Damo?
I didn't... Well,
Damo, what did you say to him?
Well, we hadn't spoken for 90 minutes, so we just got up and... said something that he doesn't need to be on, and he's off.
Phil,
what?
You I think he's coming back, but he's not here right
you
now.
You poked him to the point where he's exited.
Speaking of big bears, I poked the bear.
You did?
But he poked it back. You've got to give it and take it.
Billy, he's Billy, poked it for 30 years.
You can't give it to a bloke for being dropped for a grand final. That was
below the belt. He went on for four losing grand finals.
That was below the belt.
It's pretty low.
That was
below.
Well, I didn't know Gavin Krasiska got the forward pocket, and he didn't get a game, and Monkey was a name. At full forward, and Brian couldn't even get in there.
He's an underrated forward, Gavin Krasiska. He spent a lot of time up there, but he was
kicked about 14 goals in his 200 games.
And then Bill, and then you went with the stopwatch for Tanya, and he didn't like that either. So, Bill, this is a big day.
I'm not going to bring up the stopwatch
in the lunch.
Very funny about getting airtime on the main channel.
And he's got the lunch, of course. Oh, no, he hasn't. Damo got the gig ahead of him.
But he's presenting the cup, isn't he, if Richmond win? No.
Who?
Bristle.
He'll try to get in.
He's up there.
Ash Barty's presenting the cup.
She's never played footy. Surely they'd go with Bristle.
No, they've... speaking of that, didn't Bristle want to just interview Ash Barty?
I think he might be doing a one-on-one interview. He didn't want JB or us involved.
So he's cracked the sads and left.
Well, I'd still... To be convinced that's
Tim, that's very un-Australian.
Is it?
And very un-Triple M.
I think you need to apologise, Bill.
Oh, I do too.
I'm not Pollard. Get stuffed. He can get stuffed. Oh, fat up there. Good. He's not there.
At least he won't get picked last today in the quiz.
That's two from you today. Yeah.
That's his little song for the quiz because he's the last one in the schoolyard. Righto, Dan. Here we go.
Singers.
During the decade, 2000-2009, which of the following players took the most number of contested marks? Can he use any of the lifelines? Are we back in? No.
It's question six, Bill.
No, he's got to answer it. You've got to answer it yourself because they're all out.
Oh, sorry.
Revolt, Richardson, Brown or Warren Treadray?
Sandy Roberts.
Sandy Roberts? Sandy Roberts? Oh,
what
sandals.
For an answer?
Sandals out there.
He's listening to a different station.
Throwing sandals in.
Sandy Roberts.
Did he hear the question? He must have been on 3RW.
He's a good mark, Sandy.
Sandy, you love that.
He's a good mark.
Hey, Graham's from Glenelg, and you know what Glenelg is?
Where are you going? Don't say anything. What is it?
It's Damien.
No, don't say anything purple. What is it, Bill?
Well, it's spelt backwards the same as forwards.
Which is
Pap-L.
Don't say anything purple.
A papadom.
Oh! Palindrome, Bill.
Palindrome, that's it. Brian didn't know what we're talking about.
I've never heard of it.
What, a palindrome?
Never heard of one.
Indrome.
Palindrome.
So spell Glenelg.
What's a palindrome?
A word that's the same back to front.
Spelt L-E-N-E-L-G.
I did
something.
Is this the stud?
I do.
What?
Graham from Glenelg. It could be the great Graham Corns.
Studley Corns?
Not Studley. Not Studley. Just down in the
shed. Oh, hang on.
Kane.
It is a Corns, though.
That sounds like Kane.
That's Kane.
What are you doing, Kane?
Kane, what are you doing ringing our buddy quiz?
That idiot.
I thought it was Chad.
Oh, Chadwick.
Chad's brother.
Keep talking. It is he. It is, I reckon.
It's Chadwick.
That's Kane. Tell us what you've been doing. Tell us what you've been doing.
I'm out in the shed working on the pythons, Brian, doing some bicep curls.
Oh, yeah.
It is Chadwick.
No, it's Kane.
Sounds like Chad's brother, Kane.
Yes.
Kane, is Hutchie allowing you to do this?
Yes. Kane.
I think I know the answer.
What is it?
It's an answer to
a bit of Chinese espionage about it.
What's Kane?
Is it
Bill?
It's not my fault.
It's Bill. It's not the great Sandy Roberts.
Very good. That's a start. Yes. Is it?
No! You can't be buzzing him out.
I didn't buzz him out.
Well, you got it wrong.
No, he said it's not. But who's he saying it is?
You've got to get him back.
Next.
Nice.
Oh, we got rid of Graham from Glenelg, which is a palindrome, like race car. Now, Ash. G'day, Ash.
Making pens, wooden pens.
Wooden pen.
Oh,
yeah. What?
TJ.
Have you got a lay?
Oh, I love a lay.
Or a lathe.
What do you make wooden pens?
A lathe.
What do you mean a lathe?
Where do you start?
With a lathe.
With some wood.
This is completely derailed. Hutchie has sent someone to derail your segment.
To sabotage it.
He has.
Oh, fair dinkum, Hutchie. You know who else makes wooden pens? This is true.
Yeah.
Tony Chompers.
That's why
Jones.
I said it.
Yeah. Chompers makes wooden
pens. Tell me this is the Chompers.
The Chompers.
Ash, where are you from?
Avondale Heights.
Correct. You got that one right. Righto. Are we still up to the contested marks? What,
Bill?
What the hell?
Bill.
He's still up to the marks.
We're not sure he's still up there. Who's bloody taken the most contested marks in 2000 to 2009? Richardson, Rewalt, Brown or Warren Treadray?
We're still on that question.
Yes, we are.
Sandals Roberts.
Oh!
Bill! What has happened to your quiz?
Hutchie's sabotaging this quiz.
No, he's not that smart.
Are they hearing another quiz somewhere?
No, this happens. I've heard this happen in another quiz where they all ring up and say, India. Have you heard that?
What do they all say? Sandy
Bill,
Roberts
do we need to take a break and come back?
Well, that's not Bill's fault.
It is Bill's fault.
And I've got blokes ringing up saying, bloody Sandy Roberts. I'm going to ring Sandy Roberts.
I think we need a break. And you need to reset the quiz.
Bill.
That's not my fault.
What's going on?
What is happening in this?
You've got Kane Corns ringing in your quiz.
Come on, Kane.
Hutchie has absolutely torpedoed your segment. So Fats running his quiz. He's got a question. Who took the most contested marks between 2000 and 2009? Was it Revolt? Was it Treadray? Was it Richardson or...
Brown.
Brown. And three people in a row said Sandy Roberts.
And we think we've got a switched line somewhere.
Someone's sabotaging the quiz because it's been that good.
Well, Bill, it hasn't. It's been poor. We're only halfway through and you're 20 minutes in.
We're not.
We are, Tim.
All right.
Well, there's
very
good prizes.
We'll take control back.
Righto then. Here we go, right? So this is the question. Who we got on the line? Tom. Is Tom there?
Yep.
Where are you from, Tom?
I'm from Geelong.
What do you do?
I'm fishing at the moment.
How are you?
Just getting out of the house.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, yes. Get rid of him. He just said he's not allowed to say.
No, no, that's after he said he's fishing. Fishing.
Oh, yeah. Where are you fishing? Ballyang Sanctuary?
Down the Barwon. Barwon River. Yeah,
Barwon? There's hardly any water in the Barwon.
No, of water
just
there,
catching a cold, really.
Oh, good.
Righto.
Now, during the decade of the 2000 to 2009, which one of the following players took the most number of contested marks? A, Matthew Richardson.
Is this a
B, Nick Riewoldt. C, Jonathan Brown. Or D, Warren Treadray. And we're bringing the lifelines back into it because it's been poor, 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 the quiz. So, Tom, you can choose Feathers or Tired Duck or Grumpy Brian.
I'll go Duck.
Right, Duck. Most contested, please.
Well, I do know this because
you cheated.
I was a decade before,
it's not Sandy Roberts.
I would argue the best contested mark the game's ever seen, and he's one of the favourites of just football lovers. It's Richo.
You think Matthew Richardson? What do you think, Thomas?
I'll back him in, Richo, for me.
There we are.
So it wasn't Sandy Roberts.
It wasn't Sandy Roberts.
I don't know why they're ringing saying Sandy Roberts. Oh, my hat. Oh, my hat.
Leanne Dick or whatever.
Don't mention it. If Sandy was listening, he would ring up because he doesn't like talking about that.
No, well, don't bring it up all the time.
Down at Warrnambool.
That's it.
The cameraman was shaking much.
What happened, Bill, again?
Well, she was Miss Australia.
Yeah.
And her name's... wasn't Leanne. Anyway, number six.
Australia with us in Leanne Cock and Leanne Dick, I should say. And Leanne, it's going to be very interesting.
Bill, don't keep bringing it up, fat. All right, next question.
Yeah, I can't. How many times has Port Adelaide played finals in Ken Hinckley's 8 years at the coach? How many finals?
I think they've played two. Two series.
No, two. No, not a. Well, Scotty's there in Croydon, Scotland.
Just entertaining the kids before the footy starts, Billy.
Oh, good on you. What are you doing? A bit of Scrabble?
I got the Disney Plus on the telly.
Disney Plus, yes. Wow. What's your favourite Disney
movie? Farcically bad.
Marvel.
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 Oh, my. Great stuff. Right.
Come on.
How many times has Port Adelaide played finals in Ken Hinckley's 8 years as coach there? Oh, Knackers. Scotty?
Are we on here?
Oh, no, we're not. It's during the ad break.
Scotty?
That would be Sandy Roberts.
They can't say Sandy Roberts anymore. Like, what's going on?
What is going on?
Bill, I've got four or five texts here saying this is the worst shit I've ever heard. Like, ever.
And they're still listening, Jim. They're still listening. All right.
Someone's taking it.
Well, righto, let's go to Brett in Melton. Brett. Brett.
Bill.
Is you there, Brett?
Oh, it's Joe in Preston. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, just got the fire on, ready for the footy, Bill.
Old country and western.
What sort of wood do you use?
A bit of red gum.
It's running behind schedule.
Real tightly grained stuff.
No more padding, Bill. Get on with it.
How many times has Port Adelaide played finals in Ken Hinckley's 8 years as coach?
Joe. It's a tough one. Is it Sandy Roberts?
Bill,
that's not my fault.
You set this up, Bill.
No, I have not.
Bill.
I can't do this anymore. Oh, no. And guess who's on the line? Toby. Never ring again, Toby.
Toby.
Have we got Toby there?
Just having a bet, Bill.
Just having a bet. Now, give me a winner, please, Toby. And do not answer this question I'm about to ask you with Sandy Roberts.
Cloak at Doomben.
Hey?
Cloak at Doomben, race five.
Real good on you. Thank you. Right.
Jeez, you've got a lock. It's like you've got a microphone there.
Come on, Bill. Get on with it. Voice.
How many times has Port Adelaide played finals under Ken Hinckley? 8 years he's been there as coach.
I'd have to be Sandy Roberts.
No! You have this is the last time the quiz will ever go to air. Like, ever.
That is it. Cancel it, JB.
Fat.
What?
You're done.
Now, Jim, that is not my fault. I asked the bloody questions,
Bill,
and they are saying Sandy Roberts all the time. And then we had that thing about Leanne down at the Warrnambool Races.
Bill.
I hope Sandy, poor old Sandy, is he still with us?
Fat.
I haven't heard him for a while.
Respect for the great man, please.
Close to work with the old boy. He's a great man. But why would they say Sandy Roberts? Where's all that coming from?
Well, you've ruined the quiz now forever.
No, I haven't.
That will be the last time it ever goes to air.
We only got to question six.
Yeah, in half an hour.
I was going to take 31 minutes, Bill.
All right, we need to get to a break. Speaking of Ken Hinckley, we'll be speaking to him soon.
Well, I've got a question about Kenny.
Hello, we've got it might be a final contestant.
No, you said no more. But all right, as long as you don't say the answer is Sandy Roberts, who we got here? Hello.
Hello.
Who's that?
Hello.
Who is it?
Sandy Roberts.
It is not. Is that the real Sandy Roberts?
It is.
Why
are you so surprised?
Well, I didn't know you actually still with us. But anyway, no, Sandy. we have this quiz every Saturday on the Rub. And for the last eight questions I've asked, they've all said Sandy Roberts. Why are they saying Sandy Roberts?
I have not got the faintest idea.
Oh, my hat.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
You're still on the farm out the road, Sandy?
I am. I've just been out carting wood, Billy.
Oh, good on you. What type of wood?
I knew you'd be excited by that.
Hey.
Got to sit in front of the fire and watch Richmond beat Port.
Oh, with the Dale?
Yes.
Oh,
hey,
nice wine.
Sandy, every time your magnificent career and name gets brought up and the reverence that it should be dealt with, and
Jim,
we're all.
Jim.
Bill Don't then decides to roll with some audio out of Warrnambool. It's
Mount Gambier, Jim.
Mount Gambier. It's, Sandy, it's despicable lack of respect for me.
I would have thought, JB, after 37 years, people might have said, look, let's just lay it to rest. But no, they haven't.
What has been your best call?
That
Billy,
one.
You are king of Geelong?
Yeah, no, that was good. I loved calling people that I enjoyed watching, Billy.
Yeah, who?
Michael Long was one, Gary Ablett Sr., and, yes, you're right, the king of Geelong.
Hey, Sandy, thanks so much for ringing in. That's brilliant.
No worries, boys. Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you, Sandy.
What a champ.
How good is he?
Well, that's the end. That's the last time we'll ever have
We only got seven.
What's the answer, Ken Hinckley? How many?
Three times played finals.
All right. Times. So those tailor-made magnificent two response balls
What's
and the
happened?
Trust butter.
What's happened?
I don't know.
Well, of course, you know, most of us, I shouldn't say all, because there are a couple of squeaky clean players in the competition, but most of us are buggered up from time to time. And, of course, I had a small incident at a charity event supporting a charity. was there for just so happened to be a dinner served with wine accompanying that. So I had a couple of glasses, as you do, paid me money, raised 370 grand for kids with cancer.
Just putting
got
that
put
in
through
there.
The ringer. So I thought, you know, that's the one time I got caught off. I was thinking back to the times that I got away with stuff that probably were a whole lot worse.
Right.
And, thinking that these young boys, you know, they did the wrong thing, but looking at the video, they look like they didn't start the fight. So I was thinking back all the way to 2016.
Wow.
I'm new at the Blues. I've been there a couple of years. I was getting absolutely hammered in the press. I've been playing like a genuine bastard. I was going no good.
Not
the Blues.
Big money too.
Thank you, Bert.
Yeah, well, it was.
Your ankle, you had a crook ankle, though.
I had a crook ankle, you know, and they knew what they'd signed up for. Anyway, so it gets to January, and I get asked by my best mate, Mickey Habgood, if I'd be the best man in his wedding.
Yeah.
So absolutely chuffed. Second time I've been asked to be best man, such as the colour of bloke I am.
Yep. Quality.
From two weddings. So I duly say yes, get onto the planning. Plan this ripper day every day in pre-season on the weekend. We trained on a Saturday morning, thought perfect. We'll have the Saturday afternoon to ourselves. Got a corporate box at Melbourne Racing Club, Caulfield.
Yep.
Perfect. Had the boys there. Boys back to my joint. It was the last night of Eve nightclub. How good is this? Couldn't go better. On the Tuesday of that week, Bolts calls us in and goes, family day is this Sunday. We'll have training before it. So I've got a genuine predicament on my hands, don't I? I am.
Decision time.
I'm stuck between a rock and a bloody hard place.
Yes.
So I thought, well, you know, I've organised all this. I'll go to the races. I'll have the boys back to mine for some dinner, and then I'll get them into Eve. It was closing night last night. How's it fall? I'll stick around for a little bit. I'll duck off home. Anyway, long story short, about 5 o'clock, Eve closes. Me and my best mate are walking out of there.
I am.
I get in the cab. I get home. I go to bed, do the right thing. Quickly get out of bed because I've got to get a train in an hour's time. Anyway, longer story
short. You said you were doing the right thing. Well, like I was going to bed at 5 a.m.
Yeah, well, I got into bed. I didn't get much sleep, but got to training by 7. We did a bit of boxing, and I had to do the press conference that day. So I'm looking into the sun. I remember it vividly. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, being dealing with scallywag kids all day, you know, pretending to smile. Robert Walls is into me at this stage. He's telling me I'm the worst recruit the club's ever had. I'm overpaid. You know, I need to pull my head in. So it was very hard to argue, being slightly under the weather, that he's saying anything wrong. So I remember sitting there. I've done the press conference. I've just flat batted everything because I was in no state to make a joke.
Yes.
And I thought, you beauty, get home. Got away with it. Rock up to training on Monday morning, straight into the lecture theatre. We sit down. A few of the boys who knew that I was a touch rough are having a bit of a giggle. And my head is on the big screen with the play button ready to go. And Bolts walks in. And by this stage, I've nearly slid off my chair. I'm hiding. I'm down. He presses the clip, plays the entire press conference, goes for 4.5 minutes, stops it and goes, boys, if ever you want to learn how to handle criticism, that's how you do it. Daisy, professional as always. Fantastic. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, thanks, mate. Bloody good on you.
very good.
So, but you know, it's the ones you got to get it. Yeah, that's a your best mate's bucks, buddy. It's a tough.
Oh, you
tough
can't box. That.
A victim of circumstance. Yeah, you were victim of circumstance.
Oh, well, you remember you remember the bucks party. You never remember family day. So
correct.
Why would you give that up?
And I did both. So
I'm sort of with Robert Walls at this stage, though.
Not an easy job. Judge to call a game of AFL football. There's a lot happens, so I'm very reluctant to go over when someone makes a mistake because I make plenty myself.
We do this to make him better, Howard. We don't do this to celebrate.
Why would you call it a mistake? I mean, I think that's the thing that you guys have missed is there's obviously opportunity to enhance the call. Mm. If you saw something you like, why not give it another go, Howard? I think you were a little bit flat. I gave it a bit more.
So for those totally that comfortable with missed the first quarter, and I'll be interested in Nate's take on this because he likes this type of stuff. So we'll play it, then we'll get Nate's thoughts on his great former teammate. But Das in full swing calling the football, getting hold of replays. This is what happened in the first term.
Mitch Duncan has won this one out of the centre. The Irishman, Tui, penetrating long kick inside forward 50. And McAvoy back there.
I think you're fine. You might be calling the replay, Jake.
I think
you did a bloody good job of it. I think
you're right too.
He's done a Sandy Roberts on us.
Get the boy up.
He's done a Sandy.
Shit, I tell you what, it was better the second time round than it was the first time. I've got to say that.
It'd be like Groundhog Day, the movie, if you don't get it right the first time.
Well, Al was a bit flat, so I thought it needed a second go.
Hey, for those that didn't understand exactly what happened, just run through us while Gunston goes about his dot.
The Cats kicked the goal for Josh Selwood, and then did you call the replay?
That's another goal.
That's the bonus you get here on Triple M. If you didn't like it first time, we'll give you another go at it. No.
You know, it's a great shame that his show's got the sack because they would have given that a roll on Monday night.
I think it might get a run on mine.
Any danger of someone letting me know.
Amy Clangers happened on and off the field. Lucky who with Amy. What about the hyenas just chuckling at your misfortune, Luke?
It dawned on me when McAvoy spoiled. I thought, geez, that's eerily familiar.
But I've turned around and I've looked at the judge and both her eyes have lit up with thought, surely this can't be true. It can't be this good. And then we smell blood.
We let it go on just long enough.
Yeah, McKenzie, this is game number 12. So what's that, 12 out of 13?
Westhoff to Butters to the advantage. Beautiful handballs, takes a bounce. 50, 40, 30. He tripped over himself. It was like a big bundy in front of him. And he went, oh, no. It's like coming down bloody Mount Everest. He fell over his own feet.
Oh, he wobbled earlier.
Boy, he did wobble, Bill. There was a little bundy there. He slipped on that, and then he ran into a big bugger.
I think he saw it. Look, he wobbled early.
No.
Oh, what? It's like he's pissed.
Boy, he was up in the air and he was trying to take ground while his feet were off the ground, and he was trying to turn while he was in the air. It was strange. It was weird. Marshall ends up with a 40-30 out on the boundary line, kicking at goal, and he misses across the face out of bounds on the full, I think. That will be.
That's like Bill walking down Cavill Avenue after a good stint at Hollywood.
That's right.
And then a couple of kebabs.
You know, you get your feet a bit all messed up, and then you fall down a little hole or a gutter, and then you whoop, and you hold your beer.
Oh, he straight legged it. He straight legged it.
Got the death wobbles.
There was no one around.
That's what it reminded me of.